The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Lance back with us. The national television star back on his piddly little job as a radio host in Houston, Texas.
Where is my... Did you guys bring my foie gras in this morning? I'm supposed to have slippers here.
Wait, Dell, what was he eating? Oh, yeah, we had sweet and sour chicken or orange. What did they have? Oh, okay.
Chinese food brought to them.
Wolfing down.
I ate like a radio host. People are like, oh, my God. They were looking at me. I'm like, I host radio. I can eat a whole meal in 4 minutes. It's not... During a break. I've eaten a steak during a break one time. It's not hard. Now, for the rest of the people who are humans there, who are on the set crew, who are the mic people and the camera people, they're looking at me and they brought a plate. This girl came over. So the last day, we've got 8 hours on TV. And we're responsible for every pick. So sometimes they had to tape a pick. Like they come so fast that if we were in a break, and our break's only 2 minutes, they would tape it and then they have to play it off tape, and then we'd have to give analysis or whatever. We'd swing it back out to a monkey would make a pick, or you know, a parrot would call or something, and R2-D2 would make a pick. I don't know if you saw that. Like, and this kid goes, "That's a great pick, R2-D2. The San Francisco 49ers select," and then he'd do the thing. So
what about they curled it?
The curling pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we
just make a pick? David Akers is screaming a pick.
Oh, that was the greatest thing ever when David Akers went in on the Cowboy fans. Hey, Cowboy fans! The last time they were in a Super Bowl.
Well, it was more like this. Well, Cowboy fans! Yeah. You gotta play it. I mean,
Drew Pearson, first of all, find what Drew Pearson said to the Eagles last year to troll them. And then David Akers came back and came after Cowboy fans. It was great. Mike Vick had shot at Cowboy fans. A lot of them did. But anyway, so one time this girl says, you know, we're there at 8 hours. She said, "Do you want some? Can I bring out some food from the catering or whatever?" Like, yeah. So she brings in this plate, and I open the plate up, and it's like, okay, there's some lo mein, some rice, some sweet and sour chicken or something, and like two things of broccoli. During the break, I'm like a dog eats off a plate real fast. And I think people on the camera crew are looking at me like, oh my Jesus, look what he just ate, all of that except the rice in 3 minutes.
Well, you're a radio guy. You know how to eat. Yeah. You know how to eat fast. All right. Let's break it down. First, the Texans. What'd you think of their draft?
Let me pull it all up. I did. Legitimately,
Justin Reed, you have to like the pick.
I think he's a top 25 player. Yeah, yeah. I loved the Justin Reed pick. Justin Reed, now, remember, we said...
You had said he was a possibility for a first round.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he could go into first. I was shocked when he made it through the second. And I really don't know why. There's not a medical or a physical. It's just maybe I'm higher on him than other teams. I don't know. The Texans, I think, had him in the second. So they said they were extremely happy to get him where they get him. He runs a 4-4-1. This is what Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien said before the draft. We're going to get faster. Speed is an absolute must for us. This guy ran a 4-4-1. He is physical. He'll play you in the run game. He's got ball skills. He is going to be one of the best safeties they've ever had for the Texans.
Does he start week one?
Yes, I believe he'll start week one.
He and Matthew will be the two starters.
I think he'll beat out Andre Howell.
Yeah,
and I think because you have a veteran like Tyrann Mathieu, you can bring in Justin Reed. And Justin Reed can play either safety spot, but he can play deep safety, which will allow Mathieu to kind of...
Can he cover tight ends in the slot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I watched him, and I was shocked how good he was when I watched him. I had no idea. I think the Texans stole Justin Reed. I really, truly do. I think they did a great job getting him.
Okay. Martinez Rankin.
So Martinez Rankin played tackle for Mississippi State. So my guess is the Texans are going to start him at left tackle and see how he does. A lot of scouts said he took a lot of snaps at center and can play center. obviously they've got like four centers now, so I don't think the Texans are looking at him at center. I think they wanted to play tackle, and if he fails a tackle, they can play him at guard, but they drafted him to be a tackle and a left tackle. I thought he was solid. I don't know if he's an NFL left tackle or not. He's got some athletic ability. Honestly, he's better than Julian Davenport, so he's another guy that could play way earlier than we're expecting. As a rookie, he could end up playing way earlier.
Wow, that would be – if they've got two guys that are going to be on the field making significant contributions – well, actually three, because Jordan Akins will be on the field this year.
Probably. Well, you have Ryan Griffin also.
Yeah.
And then you have Steven Anderson.
Yeah, but
– and you have Jordan Thomas now, who they also drafted. We'll get to him, too.
Right.
So it was this draft.
I like Akins. I love Akins' tape.
He went way earlier than I expected. But when I watched him at Senior Bowl, I think he's a former wide receiver, if I remember correctly. And when I watched him at Senior Bowl, he kept getting a lot of separation. I was like, man, this Joker has got
some. I think Jordan Akins is going to be. Because Steven Anderson is fine. Steven Anderson is what he is because he doesn't block. He's not a blocker at all.
Right.
So I think if you're going to do a two tight end set and be able to run the football, I think Jordan Akins is going to have to be on the field. I'm not saying he's the starter week one, but he's going to make a contribution.
So Jordan Akins did not run a 40, I don't think. I think there was an injury, and I don't believe he ran a 40 at all whenever he was in the run-up process. He's fast.
Yeah,
I mean, he fit also the traits thing. So you got an athlete who can play multiple positions at tackle. Justin Reed ran a 4.41. Jordan Akins is in the 4.6s. I guarantee a tight end. And that's fast. And then the next pick, Kiki Kuti is a low 4.4 guy. There's more speed. Braxton Miller's done. This is basically saying, yeah, Braxton, you didn't get it done, so you better ball out like crazy, or we're not even messing with you, because they've got Bruce
that was
Ellington.
Another third round meh.
Yep. More, yep. Another third round miss.
Waste. Another third round miss.
Tavier Posey.
Here's the problem, Kiki.
Braxton Miller.
I mean, 5'9", first of all.
He's tiny.
Secondly,
Bill Belichick,
he's tough.
But Bill O'Brien has seen plenty of small slot receivers do just fine.
Yeah, no. But he's not a return guy.
No.
No. He couldn't catch punts. They tried. They wanted him to return punts at Texas Tech. I got people over there. I called. I said, you know, what's the deal? And they said, well, he just couldn't catch punts. Now he can catch the football. He can catch the football throw.
Different.
He
it's
can throw.
Different.
He can catch a spiral. He just can't catch one that's coming at him from 90 degrees or whatever. So that's okay. I mean, he's not a punt returner. The kickoff return game. Who knows what's going to happen there? He did return kicks for him, and he returned one for a touchdown, I believe. But he didn't. He couldn't catch punts, so that's okay. But he is a tough guy. A good teammate. They thought he wasn't all that bright because he was a late qualifier.
Yeah.
But he was. He was a sharp kid. He just didn't. I guess he just wasn't interested in school.
He'll get open now.
Yep, he will get open.
He is lightning quick out of his brakes, and he's fast down the field.
He will contribute this year as well.
Yep.
So I think the first four guys. And Duke Ejiofor.
Oh, Duke Ejiofor is, man, Duke Ejiofor. So when I watched him this summer, I said, man, this guy's got a lot of pass rush moves for a college guy. It's pretty rare to have a college guy with this many. But he's not fast. He's not quick. But then when he gets on top of you, he's got all these counters and hand moves, and he's physical. And then I was watching this year, and I said, he's just kind of average looking. He was also hurt. But just kind of average looking outside. But they would move him down inside to rush on third downs. He was unstoppable inside. Like, they couldn't stop him. I could put some games on for you and watch. You can watch.
I've seen some.
They couldn't stop him on the interior as a sub package, you know, reduce rusher to three technique. And my guess is that that's how the Texans are going to end up using him. They kind of stole him in a six. Like, the reason he fell is because there's medical concerns with his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's probably a third or fourth rounder. They got him in a sixth. And if he's healthy, he's well worth a sixth rounder.
One of JT's former teammates plays for Wake Forest. I asked him about him, and he said, great teammate, love the guy, but extremely quiet. Doesn't talk at all.
He's from here.
But makes plays.
Where'd you go to school?
Not Hastings. What's the other one in A-Leaf?
Hold on. Not Taylor?
Was it Taylor? Anyway, he said, really great guy, loves him, and you know what, you got to steal in the sixth round. Jordan Thomas, tight end from Mississippi State.
So he's just a big, giant wide receiver. He played just wide receiver at Mississippi State. And when you watched him, he was 265. Like, it was weird to watch any highlights of him. He wasn't the toughest guy out there because I was hoping to see a guy who just mauled people. But he was bigger, and he won blocks because he was bigger. But now if you move him to tight end, that's different. You're asking him to block real guys inside. But the Texans were asked about it, and Bill O'Brien said, we think that he's got – or Brian Gaines said, you got to want to. And he said, we think he wants to be a blocker. And they worked him out, and they tried him, and they said, we think we saw enough in the tryouts and the workouts that he can be a blocker. So I think they envision him not just as like a big slot receiver for Steven Anderson. I think they're hoping that he becomes a real tight end like C.J. Fedorowicz, one of those inline tight ends. So it'll be interesting because when he catches it, he's a wide receiver. So when he catches it, he's got some ability after the catch.
Yeah, I think the issue there is will you be able to trust him in pass protection to block?
Yeah,
to block the backside if he's got to go and cut off. I mean, I can't see that play where Case Keenum is rolling out from Minnesota and the tight end goes out to pick up and he just jumps over him and kills Case. And Case, I think that's where he got sacked or threw the pick. And you got to be able to trust that tight end to be on that edge guy. And that ain't easy. And if this guy's coming from outside, inside, it's going to take a little while.
Yeah, it is. This is a developmental player.
Yeah.
He's literally changing positions. I know people probably don't think wide receiver to tight end as much of a change, but it's a huge change.
Yeah.
You're asking him to be physical.
Oh, no, absolutely. Peter
Kalambay is a tremendous athlete. He was a five-star coming out of college or high school or a four-star. He never got better from his freshman year. His freshman year, when I was watching Henry Anderson, who the Colts just traded, I kept thinking, this 34 is a beast. I had to go look on the internet and said, who is 34? And I saw he's a freshman, and I kept thinking, this guy is going to be an animal. And then he was the same guy. Like, his stats stayed the same. Nothing changed. But he's very athletic. He's very twitchy. He has got good size. Like, he looks like an NFL player. Worst case scenario, he's going to make the team. He should be a good special teams player. Worst case scenario, and a backup. I got no problem with him. I think he's got a chance. I put a higher grade on him. Like, I put a sixth. A lot of people thought he'd go undrafted. To me, he's got a chance. I wish Vrabel were here to coach him because I think he's got a chance to be a better pro than college player. You see him flash and you think, man, this guy should be so much better. Give me one of those kind of guys because then I know he's got that ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just, can a coach get it out of him? And if you can't, he should still be a special teams player.
And then Jermaine Kelly.
I don't know him. I didn't write him. He was one of the guys that I didn't write. And I talked to another team and I said, hey, you have any scouting notes on Jermaine Kelly? And they go, we didn't do him. We don't know him. So I just know what Brian Gaines said is he's tall, he's fast. Imagine that. That's what they wanted. He's tall, he's fast. He can play man corner. He can lock up and can run down the field with guys. They said he's tough. So I don't know him, but I got to go watch him today. So I'll find out who he is.
All right. 713-780-3776.
For what they had, it's a good draft. They didn't move up. They had their opportunities at different players, and they passed on some guys. But Justin Reed, tackle, they obviously had Martinez Rankin higher than what I thought Joe Noteboom was going. And so they got their guy at tackle. Justin Reed fell to him at safety. I think they had a good draft. And what they did was they drafted for speed. There's a lot of speed in this draft. They said they were going to, and that's exactly what they
did. Well, and they went out and got first the safety, then the offensive lineman, mm-hmm. then the tight end.
All three needs.
Right. So, they picked up needs, and they picked up good football players,
slot
hopefully.
Slot receiver?
Yeah. All of it. I mean, they got everything.
Braxton Miller's not doing it, so it's
a
slot.
Nope. Edge rusher.
Depth on the offensive line.
Yep.
And then some special teams type guys like Peter Kalambaye. And Jermaine Kelly, who is, a traits wide receiver. They did a good job. And they got a couple of – we come back when we get to the Rockets playoff game because it was a smash factory. You got the Astros getting back on track the last couple. And then there's a couple of undrafted free agents. One of them I think will become an eventual starting right tackle for the Texans.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even drafted.
It was Hastings. Hastings High School, says Israel.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Aleve Hastings. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any questions for the foremost authority on the NFL draft right here in studio with us here on ESPN. He's our guest today on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 720 ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell with you. 713-780-3776. Rockets win. Kick ass. Destroy the Jazz. All their hopes and dreams. Have undefeated against them this year.
I didn't see. Well, the Jazz could be another Minnesota situation where it's just a really good matchup.
It is a good matchup.
But Dell talked about this. I did not expect this. So as I was trying to travel up and get the nightmare that is known as LAX navigated, with, you know, going, dropping off a rental car and trying to get a shuttle, and it's just a nightmare. So I'm having to keep track of the game on my phone. I can't watch it at the airport. And so as I'm keeping track of it on my phone, I'm like, wow, this is an ass kicking. And I thought it was going to be a closer game. I thought the Rockets might come out flat, but Dell made a good point. This is like, we recognize this is a situation game. We've seen this situation before. Dell, I'll let you say the kind of situation it is.
You remember when the NBA was on NBC, and whether the Bulls were the top overall seed under Jordan or even the Lakers later on with Shaq and Kobe, they would normally get through their first-round series pretty quickly because they were a dominant basketball team. And then the team they played in the second round usually had a tough series because they were a 4 or 5, so the thing went back and forth a little bit. And they would always have to have that – the number one seed would always have that Sunday afternoon game where they were rested. And the 4 or 5 matchup would come in after playing on a Friday and get blown out.
Yeah.
Because it's what you would expect. That's I watched that game. That's what I felt like. This reminded me of those games where, sure, the Jazz had a nice series win, maybe overachieved, depending on who you believe. They came into the number one seed just waiting for them, and they took them out early, and it was never a game. It felt like that.
And you mentioned the math of it all. They just out-mathed them.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns out it was that simple.
The Jazz shot 50% from the floor. And when you watch the game, you think there's no way. But you go look at the box score, 50%. But you know what happened? The Rockets beat, like they do everybody with math. The Rockets made 10 more threes, won by 14, and that's your ball game.
Yep. And James is just unbelievable. Well, okay, so how many players in NBA history have started in game one of their first two series had 40-point games?
Well, I mean, I guess you just go to, like, Jordan. I don't know.
No. You would be surprised who the first two were. This is the third time in NBA
Dominique
history.
Dominique Wilkins.
No. Elgin Baylor. That's not so surprising.
Okay.
The second one is Sam Cassell.
Wait, say that again. Say the stat again.
40-point games in the first game of the first two series.
Okay, but not... Okay, so...
Sam had 40...
Well, not with a...
No, not with 2004.
Okay.
Minnesota?
Minnesota's got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I never would have put Sam on Cassell. 40 points. Sam
Cassell. And,
I don't think I would have had him on 40 points ever.
Yeah, right. So, but James did that. And here's something. This is interesting. I don't know, and somebody said this yesterday. I would hate to be the guy that has to count this. But apparently, and if you're watching, James seems to be doing this a lot more, but the between the leg and the dribble, 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 dribble. And it's not quite as bad as Steven Coutinho because I think James, first of all, James makes a lot of the threes when he just stands there and dribble, 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 dribble,
right.
Step back three, hit. But he's averaging 8.2 dribbles on his three-point field goals. That's the most in the NBA. Last postseason, 6.2. So he's dribbling 8 dribbles before he puts up the three. This is interesting. He's shooting 42% on threes that the average shooter would make 32% of the time. The difference.
Where are you getting this stuff?
Isn't this unbelievable? The difference between what he's making and what he should be making ranks 7th best among 52 players with 23-point field goal attempts this season. Last postseason, he underachieved, making 28% of his threes when he should have been making 31%, according to Second Spectrum's quantified shot quality metric. So his step back three, though, I saw showing LeBron contesting a step back three, and he actually got up and got a piece of it. But it's a pretty unstoppable shot. And it's a pretty difficult shot because guys don't make this. The step back three ain't all that easy.
Right.
And he's making it look easy, especially when he's, you know, he's shooting 7 of 12 from 3 yesterday.
Right.
Now, are you a little, now, the Jazz shot 50% from the field. The Rockets only 45.1, yet the Rockets blew him out. Rockets were,
and they took their foot off.
There's no question they took their foot off. However, they gave him a lot of easy baskets too. Chris Paul, while, you know, Chris Paul was pretty good with 17 points, his turnovers for a while, seven of them to be, and he had six assists and seven turnovers for a while. Chris Paul, was a little crazy. He was, it was like, oh, come on.
It's kind of like game one of the last season.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Oh, I mean, James and, they just reverted back to form, huh? James and Chris Paul from game one of the last series.
The Rockets, obviously, they took their foot off. It was and cruised to the win, which wasn't all that Mike D'Antoni wasn't all that thrilled with. But they shot 53% from three. That's not going to happen every game.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen every game. But it just didn't seem like at any point that they were worried. Was there any worry in this game whatsoever? I mean, they got it down to 11.
Yeah. But you weren't worried.
No.
I was never at any point worried. I just wanted to see him win by 30.
That's all.
That's all. Just smash him into oblivion. Rockets did what they needed to do. They played well. You know, the whole thing is, I just want to keep... The Rockets need to keep James at a high level. Because you're not going to win without James at a high level, if you think about it. You're not going to beat...
Well, game
Golden
two
State.
In the first series, James was terrible, and they won by 20.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen against the more you move on. These teams are not the Minnesota T-Wolves.
Did you see the stat about LeBron? It's the first time a team has won a seven-game series when the second leading scorer didn't score 20 points.
I didn't see that. That's it. That's interesting.
Yeah. He didn't have a 20-point scorer.
And you mean the entire time?
The entire series.
I would think that sometime in the 90s when basketball grinded to a halt, I would think that would have been the case.
Yeah.
That's hard. But I guess just one game. You think one game somebody's going to get to 20. Boy, that is really, really interesting. That's why I don't think they have – I don't think they're beaten. I mean, I really do think it's the Sixers getting out. I felt it the whole time. They were the hot team coming in. I just don't think there's not enough juice with Cleveland. And Brad Stevens might be the best coach in basketball, but I don't know that he has enough talent there. I mean, they had to scrap
that's,
and claw.
That, to me, is the one major factor in that series is Brad.
He's MacGyver.
He really is.
He's amazing.
He'll find, I think, you know, look at what he's done without Kyrie and Hayward. It's been pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think, in large part, you and Raheel did that, Dell, in one of your shows, is what coach would you want? I would take Brad Stevens right now over Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens all day.
Yeah, the discussion was, which coach would you get to before you didn't pick a player? Like, if you had a draft and players and coaches were involved, how far would you get before you took a coach, before you took a player? And Raheel just read off some names. And Brad Stevens was the first coach taken. I don't remember the conversation fully. I just don't know which player he would go in front of. But at some point, I got to a point where, yeah, I'd take Brad Stevens over that alleged star, because I don't think that star could change a franchise more than Brad Stevens could.
Yeah.
That guy, you watched that Terry Rozier filling in for Kyrie, had a really good series, and he was a backup point guard all year long. I don't know if I take the Sixers when the Celtics have home court. I just feel like Brad Stevens will find a way to get that team into a conference final. Now, their opponent will determine if they make it to the finals, but they're just solid. I mean, it went longer than it would have if Kyrie was there, but that's a solid basketball team even without those two guys. Danny Ainge did a great job of building depth there, and they didn't even have Jaylen Brown yesterday, and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
They don't have enough. I mean, they don't have enough to get to the
I don't think so either, but I wouldn't put it past them with Brad Stevens. I think if there's one guy that can slow down Embiid and Ben Simmons, it will be Brad Stevens. The first time in 10 years that LeBron is an underdog in an Eastern Conference series.
Yeah, he's not getting there either.
No, he's not getting there either.
I don't think so.
No.
You know, I lost track of time when I was in L.A. doing all the draft stuff and TV stuff. It was like every day I had a zillion things to do. At one point, I thought Cleveland had been eliminated. It wasn't until yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. The Cavs, I'm looking at some futures odds, and it had the Cavs, like, odds to win the Eastern Conference. Like, Cavs? I thought they were out. Cavs are still alive? I thought they were done.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
The series just lasted for freaking ever, that series. So, I mean, they just finished their series. Rockets are like, we can't wait any longer. We got to go play game one. We got to get moving on this. Golden State's like, we guys, y'all do whatever you're doing in the Eastern Conference. We got to get moving.
Let's
we got
go.
Some games to play.
Yeah, we got a bunch of games to play. All right, 713-780-3776. Daniel, we'll get you in on the other side. Anybody else wants to talk NBA? Or we got Astros and Yankees tonight, okay? Verlander against Montgomery. How are you gonna beat the Yankees? Have won nine straight.
Get ready to catch these K's, Stanton.
You ready?
They won nine straight.
Nine straight. Yeah, they've won nine straight. They're on a roll. They got the second
Yankees
best record.
And Red Sox are not
second best
teams.
Record in the American League right now. And so let's we can talk about that as well. We got some good stuff going on right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What's up, Dad?
Kickers trolling the Cowboys.
Last year. I like standing up here before you as an undrafted free agent, representing that shield for 15 years. Tonight, I'm representing the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East champs, divisional champs, NFC champs, and world champs.
Doug Peterson.
With the 49th pick in the 2018 draft, the NFL would like to represent the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Goedert.
Oh!
He is the tight end from South Dakota State. Go Birds!
He is the tight end from South Dakota State.
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go get Drew Pearson from last year. All this happened because Drew Pearson rained down terror on Eagles fans. And it was like, I mean, it's as close to wrestling as you're going to see. All this stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen to this.
How about them Cowboys?
And of course, Eagles fans are ready to legitimately murder him.
Yes.
There's nothing, they don't think this is funny at all.
For allowing me to have a career in the NFL. Thank you. I am honored as an undrafted free agent to be selected to make the Cowboys second round draft pick, and on behalf of the 5-time world champion Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame owner Jerry Jones, T. Jones and the Jones family, coach Jason Garrett, all the Cowboy players that played before me, that played with me and played after me, with the second pick and the second, the 60th pick.
The booing, did you see how the booing ramped up?
Oh, yeah.
It actually, he goes, the world champion. Like, they took it. The Eagles fans have different levels of booing.
Yeah.
And they took it to their top level once he started going in on the world champs and all that stuff. So that's where Akers' thing came from. It came from Drew Pearson last year.
No, yeah. But on top of everything else, Howie Rosen moved ahead of Dallas to select the tight end that Dallas probably coveted because Jason Witten is going in the television booth. That was very possibly the Cowboys pick.
I thought they still got a good tight end later in the fourth with Dalton Schultz. I hate saying this. I thought the Cowboys crushed it in a draft.
Again?
Yeah, I was like, God dang it. I had to put on a Cowboys hat. It's called Cap on the Draft. It was a New Era feature. It was an advertising feature. And they said, who do you think won day one? Day one, I don't remember who I put on my head. Day two, Colts. They had a great draft day
two. Who won day one? Maybe the Ravens?
Yeah.
Maybe the Jets?
Well, there was three of us. We all had
maybe the Jets?
It might have been. Well, they had Darnold
fall or Denver, with Chubb fall into him.
I actually had the Green Bay Packers because they were able to weasel an extra first-round pick and still get the guy they wanted.
Yeah.
Day two, I had the Colts. Day three, I'm like, God, it's like it was an easy. I went through 31 other teams, and I'm like, it's obviously Cowboys. I'm like, is there anyone else that I can figure out here? I'll wear a size, like a substantially too small hat. And I couldn't find anyone that came close. And so I was like, and Money Smith grabbed a team and Bucky grabbed a team. And I'm like, God dang it. I said, I'll take the Cowboys. And all I could think, I said, do I have to wear the hat? Because somebody's going to get a screen. They're going to screen cap.
Oh, yeah.
And they did. And I even said it on the air. I was like, well, I know somebody's going to screen capture this from Houston. I said, and I hate to say this, but I think the Dallas Cowboys did. And
you thought they did the best job? Overall?
I thought they did the best job overall. I thought they did a great job. I thought the Jets had a really good draft. I thought Denver
had a really good draft.
Denver had a good draft. I'm trying to remember. I've got to write the power rankings on each of these drafts, which are – this is the thing that really pisses a lot of fans off. When I rate your team 27th in the draft, you're going to come at me so hard. Last year, it was unusually vengeful and spiteful towards me after this article. I'm not even going to check Twitter for about 3 days. But – yeah, I thought the Cowboys had a really good draft. Connor Williams falling second. I tried to tell Longhorn fans, who kept telling me he was going to top 10 pick. No, he's not. He's going to go in a second round. Christian Kirk's not going in the first either, Aggies, who screamed and yelled at me, one of my kids, to fall down an embankment because I didn't have your boy going in the first. Sorry.
No one told your kid to fall down an embankment.
But he went to a great spot with Josh Rosen because Josh has a little safety blanket. Like, he's going to get a ton of throws next year probably if Rosen plays.
What did you think of Arizona's?
I didn't love it. I thought Rosen, moving up for Rosen made sense. We'll just see if he keeps it in check. And then I thought Kirk is he's a very professional receiver. He's rock solid. The rest of it I thought was just okay.
All right. We said we get Daniel.
Let's get
in.
Daniel.
Yeah, he wants to talk about his Rockets here on ESPN 97.5.
I'm excited about getting back to Rockets. Frankly, I'm glad draft is over because I want to get back to Rockets playoffs. Like, I'm expecting a championship run here.
Yeah.
This is like the Astros run. I'm expecting the same thing from the Rockets.
By the way, cleaning up a couple of things real quickly. He went to Taylor.
Duke Edge of Four
went to Aleve Taylor. And tonight is Charlie Bleepin' Morton and Sonny Gray. Tomorrow is Verlander and Montgomery. And how about Keuchel gets Severino? And Keuchel, next week, when he pitches, gets Manaea again. And you can't beat Sean Manaea. He's the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball.
He's unusually good now, Dell.
Well, I don't know what the hell happened to him. Let's get Daniel in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Daniel?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I had a question. I'm a huge Rockets fan, almost 40, so I've been around for the championship runs. And back in the day, you know, the fans for the Rockets were outstanding, especially back in the old Summit. It got so loud you could barely hear. Nowadays, I'm watching all the games, and I'm watching all the NBA games, and I see a huge letdown when you're watching the Rockets fans, unfortunately. It's like, you know, all the guys paying for the high-class seats in the back and behind the backboard refuse to stand up and cheer and try and heckle the guy while shooting free throws. And it's a huge difference from all the other teams in the league where it actually looks like the fans really care about the team. And I know a lot of fans do, but it's just kind of getting on my nerves a little bit. It seems like we're not representing very well. I was wondering what y'all thought about that.
They're really expensive seats. I think that it's always going to be more subdued rich people aren't going to be as crazy.
You see on TV club seats. Club seat people go get some pops.
Well, that's football more than basketball.
Well, no, I mean, I've been in there and there's plenty of people up there while the game at the beginning of the game who don't, especially at the beginning of the second half, it's a joke.
No, it's the beginning of the game. Yeah, it's not. It's. I mean, I said, did you say Daryl Morey? One of the first game, tweeted at 7:30 start. It was 8 o'clock.
He said he's tweeted it's 7:30 start, everybody. Let's go.
Just intentionally.
And yeah, and it was an 8 o'clock start. It's listen, I mean you my buddy's got, you know what those seats are? Up front?
They're over $100, aren't they?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. It's over $100.
Are they under 5,000?
The pair is not. It's right at 5,000. Two tickets.
But that's for the season?
But it's not.
No, that's for the game.
Oh, that's a game?
That's the game.
Well, it's not like other arenas aren't charging that type of price. So what you're saying is it's less likely that when a player is walking off the court at the half and at the game, he won't look back at a fan and try to slap his phone out of his hand like Russ did in Utah. You think that'll happen ever at a Rockets game?
Well, now, Utah fan is special.
Well, Russ comments on it. He goes, these guys are...
No, they don't. I'm telling you, 20 years ago there, I was blushing the things that those people do not care what they say to the, it's back in time when you go to Utah. Well, I mean, they churn their own butter there. So those people don't care what they say to the athletes. And Russ was, he couldn't be more right.
20 years past the all the Rocket stuff. And they're still doing
the same thing.
See, this is why people hate the Utah Jazz. I don't really even feel like the team is very hateable anymore. Donovan Mitchell, those guys don't see. I mean, Joe Ingles could have played on any Utah Jazz team ever. Right. He transcends anything. He's a Utah guy forever, for life. But I don't feel like the team is super hateable. Rudy Gobert's got a little something to him that can make you not
but
super excited.
Did you see how Clint just abused him?
I know. I loved it. Just like he abused. That game one was a lot like the Minnesota game one where the big guy got abused, James went off, and Chris Paul turned it over.
Yeah.
It was like the same thing.
He had one attempt until like the fourth quarter, did Rudy Gobert. One attempt.
No, Clint Capella is better. Clint Capella is about to make a lot of money.
Oh, a lot of money. I tweeted that yesterday. James is making. James, for some reason, he must love Capella because he gets him so much. Even when James could just lay it up, he tosses it up for Capella.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, how many times did James do that yesterday where he had an easy, like, floater and he just tossed it up to Capella instead?
He just obviously anticipates the help side coming over and just throws it up because he knows that Capella's a great finisher, great athlete in air. So you have the Jazz, right? The team is not as hateable as when it was Stockton and Malone, but the fans are just as ruthless. Russell Westbrook, find his commentary, Dell, because Russell Westbrook's commentary sounds eerily like the things that the Rockets used to say years ago about the nasty stuff the Jazz fans say about you, about your family. Like, why do these fake-ass happy people, what is it in their lives that makes them so hateful and spiteful? I swear to God, at a Rocket game, you might hear one person yelling something out at the court where you can hear, but it's not, and that's it. Like, you will hear Jazz fans, you have players who for years have said, they will scream at you and make it personal. Like, why are you so hateful and nasty to these players, Jazz fans?
Well, because what is it? They're different than you.
Explain.
They're not like you in any way.
But are we supposed to scream at people who are not like us?
They're different from me, which means they're wrong. So I have to scream at them.
Right. What was that? Savages.
Barely even human.
What are you talking about?
You don't
about?
Remember that Disney song from from what the hell is Pocahontas? Pocahontas? Savages. Yeah. Like, they're playing, like, it's a montage of the white people, and then they do a Native American one where they're all singing too, but it goes, savages, barely even human.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what they do. And Utah fan
and also,
does not.
The line is, they're not like you and me, which means they must be evil.
Right. So
that's actually
that was in Pocahontas. Yeah, that's one of the songs. But you got to play it though. When we come back,
I'll come back.
They don't have any interaction with anyone that is unlike them.
So Matt Thomas told me when he lived there and did University of Utah games. I said, "How was it?" He goes, "Wife wasn't a big fan living there." I said, "How come?" He goes, "Well, I mean, because you can't have social relationships because if you're not in Church of LDS, you know, if you're not in LDS, Latter-day Saints, then they're like, they're fine. They're friendly to you until like 5 o'clock hits. And then bye-bye. we're work friends. There's no personal stuff unless you're part of you're in the clique.
Yeah.
We're not going and having dinner. We're not doing this or doing that. And you like are kind of shunned in a way. Like it's just not. You're just not part of the crew.
As well, you should be. You're different.
You're different from them. Even human.
So therefore, you should be hated.
They're not like you. They're not like you and me. Which means you must be evil.
They must be evil.
It's a good thing that they're on that evil Russell Westbrook.
I don't have a real issue.
Russell Westbrook does scare them.
Like, I did appreciate Russell dunking, and then this primal scream where he goes, oh, and then he looks at him and goes, what? And then at half, they took out. I imagine that came from all the crap he was hearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Russell said stuff after the game, but we're going to come back with Savages since you haven't heard it.
You have to hear it. 713-780-3776.
Trusted. Smith tried to befriend them, and look what they've done to him. But now I say it's time to rescue our courageous comrade. At daybreak, we attack! What can you expect from filthy little heathens? Here's what you get when races are diverse. The skin's a hellish red. They're only good when dead. They're vermin, as I said, and worse.
They're savages, savages.
Barely even human.
Savages, savages.
Drive them from our shore. They're not like you and me, which means they must be evil. We must stop the problem for our war.
They're savages, savages. Dirty, shrieking devils. Now we sound the drums of war.
If you missed that last part, dirty shrieking devils, we must sound the drums of war, is what he said.
Now, in the movie, you find out that they're not, right?
Well, yeah, that's just one guy's thoughts about trying to drive his people into fighting. And then
And Dell, you think they play this before the game at Utah?
Well, it depends on who's coming into town.
Yeah.
The Rockets have some of the fewest tattoos in the league. Do you think that makes Utah Jazz fans maybe like them more? You ever seen James? Does James have a tattoo?
No.
Chris Paul?
No.
Trevor Ariza?
Yeah, but do you see, what about Clint Capella?
No, but he's foreigner.
He's not really from this
country. Yeah, he's foreign.
As far as the starting lineup, it's pretty devoid except for Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Just Trevor Ariza and PJ. PJ's got
it. Yeah,
PJ's
got it. But Ryan Anderson's all tatted up.
Ryan Anderson, none. And off the bench, it's not many off the bench either. Like, I was thinking, this just kind of, it's a weird outlier. It's like watching a UFC fighter without a tattoo.
No,
you
what?
Immediately see
there
a
is
UFC
no such
fighter.
Thing.
Oh, yeah, and you immediately go, this is, something's off here. Something's weird. Or it's like now seeing a woman who doesn't have an arm sleeve, like a woman under the age of 36 who doesn't have a...
Well, there's no such thing at a UFC fight.
Oh, no.
They had more tats than the guys did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Women, it used to be just the cute, I'm just going to get sparkles here, butterfly.
By the way, somebody.
Now it's like, I'm going to get a dragon that's ripping a man apart on the back of my neck. And like, wow, that's an aggressive one.
Somebody did. Yeah, they used to keep them just right here in the small of their
now
back.
Now it's like, I'm going to see if
couldn't
I
really
can
see
them
unless you were doing stuff.
I'm going to.
What stuff? Somebody screen capped you with a Cowboys hat on. What the hell? Why would somebody do that?
Because they're ugly.
Then there is this. Lamont says, of course, when you dress like this, fans can taunt you. It's in the Constitution. That's Russell.
Look how skinny his legs are.
Yeah, well, I don't care, but because he's dressed like that.
It's in the Constitution.
It's in the Constitution. And then, oh, by the way, we know that apparently the update guy was giving us an update. Did you guys remember what happened on Thursday? No. So he gave you an update.
Yeah, you guys don't have a great sense of attention span.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This
is Cody DeZiri. Don't forget, on Thursday, the draft's tonight. Don't miss it. Draft's tonight. Also, the Houston Astros are going to be taking on the Angels again. They're like, what is happening?
Yeah, by the way, 713-780-3776. My buddy asks, if the Rockets win at all, will the parade be bigger than the Astros?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because they've done it before. So I think that...
I just think there were more closet Astro fans who were just on standby. People, you know what's funny is, you know, I did shows at another station while the Astros went totally in the tank and then came totally back. And it's amazing how many people just didn't remember or didn't realize how many Astros fans there were.
Yeah.
You just...
This was a baseball town.
It
from
was
the
a huge baseball Houston, town. Yeah. And everyone kind of laughed about it and joked, this isn't a baseball town.
Oh, I'm no.
Like, really? Because what just happened when they weren't... There's a lot of fans who are waiting to come back.
From the late 90s to the... Towards the end of the 2000s, this was a great baseball town. When they went to the World Series, this town was pumped. This town it really was for that team. And, well, you know, when Roger and Andy came, it was just, it was off the charts.
Yeah.
And then, and they got it back. And yeah, no. And that was the first one. So I think all of the, from, I mean, how many stories, and I heard just the other day, somebody, one of the Astros was talking about how I heard stories, so many stories. Oh, George Springer was on with you guys. It was great. All the stories that he had heard from people who, you know, my dad watched, and, you know, me and my dad used to watch together, that kind of stuff. And Jeff Luno, and I've heard AJ talk about that as well. So many people had so many memories from when they were kids. So it exploded. We've already had the Astros. I mean, the Rockets win it. So I'm not sure that it's going to be as big. I think you're right. I think the Astros will be bigger. But either way.
I do like the fact that we are even having this conversation about, you know, how the championship parade is going to be. I think we need to have that conversation, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear. Although it does look like, so you're going to have Steph, you're going to have Golden State at full. I don't want to hear anything from Golden State or any basketball people like, yeah, but Golden State really wasn't. Yeah, but because Rockets don't get any excuses. There are no excuses that anybody with the Rockets can possibly have. Not at this point.
You think someone's going to make excuse for Golden State
if Golden State does win, like, I absolutely do. Yes. Well, Golden State, well, Steph Curry just barely came back. He wasn't the same. He was rusty.
In game two, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, game two of this series, yeah. And then if the Rockets win and the Warriors win, and if they win quickly,
I feel like Thundersticks is swinging at Ghost here.
No. You'll see.
I don't know if You'll Steph see. Is back and looks good in this series. People are going to make the claim that they
weren't
fully healthy.
Back, Jordan was back even longer playing, and then he didn't. And there was excuses made about that when Orlando beat Jordan.
Well,
he was
the
back
year
even
off.
Longer.
Well, because he took a year plus off. I don't know if Steph is ready and playing healthy. I don't think you'll hear anything. I think, okay. They
Jordan
lost.
Averaged 30 in the playoffs.
They're going to put an asterisk on this because Ricky Rubio's not playing, okay? Well, you got through Utah because Ricky Rubio's not playing.
I don't know. People think the Rockets would have beat them without Utah. With Ricky Rubio. The Rockets are the prohibitive favorite to get to a conference final since like midway through
the year. But Golden State's still the favorite to win West and win the championship. Well, Golden State's the favorite.
Yes.
Oh, no question.
They're a small favorite. Rockets
now,
are like
no.
even money.
Actually, the Rockets have turned into a favorite in Vegas.
I looked at it just yesterday.
I saw. Well, ESPN put it. I don't know. So
they have
I'm not
different books.
Yeah. That's a different deal. All right, let's catch up on breaks and talk about saving people money, Lance. Right now,
let's talk about Bill Advisor. The good folks at Bill Advisor are doing big things for you, and it's not just for your cable, your satellite, your home phone, your cell phone. I mean, they can have some huge savings there. Oh, I saw Dan Helley from NFL Network, and I told him about Bill Advisor last year, and he used them, and he said they crushed it for him. Now, he's in California. He said they couldn't do anything with my energy bill, or there was one other one, but I had to tell him, have you had them look at your home and car yet? And he said, no. I said, you need to check it out, because they have made some changes on the, especially the homeowner's insurance. And they just got done saving me over $700 with home and car. That was my $700 of savings for this year, tied onto an internet savings I had. I'm up to $3,400 in 2 years. It cost me $12.99 per month. And that's all it's going to cost you, $12.99 per month. You get with a company that is going to be able to save you a massive amount of money in many, many cases. Let them renegotiate your bills so that you get those new customer rates that you deserve. If you've been a loyal subscriber, why shouldn't you get the rates? Why should the other guys get all the rates? You should get the rates. Make sure that you get what you deserve, which is lower rates and big savings with Bill Advisor. Go to billadvisor.com or text GO to 232323. That's GO to 232323. They'll text you back. They'll get started on your bills. And by the end of today, they could have your bills chopped down on average between $800 and $900 per person. But in many cases, I'm just telling you, it's substantially more. So go to BillAdvisor.com or text GO to 23-23-23.
So many times I've tried.
ESPN 97.5.